welcome to Girlfriends. Have your, like, you know, we do so many monotonous things during the day, right? We, like, cook and we clean, make sure everybody's dressed. Everybody got out of the house alive today. But you know what? Mama and grandma and the woman in the world need to play with Jesus sometimes. And so when you go to Girlfriends, you tell the people in your life, I have an appointment with my king this morning, and nothing's going to stop me from getting there because this is what I need and this is what he needs. I believe that the Lord shows up and he loves the praises of his people. There's nothing that moves God more than when we praise him because we were created to praise and worship him. So isn't that wonderful? Thank you, worship team, for bearing with me and just going there. Aren't they amazing? They are so, so good. Well, hi. How are you today? Are you good? Awesome. Awesome. Blessed. I love hearing that. What else are you? Favored. Some of you are like, I don't know, I'm bummed out. Listen, you serve a God who loves you more than anything in this whole world. There is no problem too big, no water or ocean too deep for him. There's nothing that moves God more than his love for you. That's pretty amazing, don't you think? And I believe that he has a word for us. We talked about love last week. How many of you enjoyed that? We really kind of tapped into everything, didn't we? I got an article on 50 Shades of Grey now. I've gotten lots of articles on 50 Shades of Grey. Just don't watch 50 Shades of Grey, all right? That's just all it needs to be. And then we talked about love. We talked about being single. How many of you, did that help you if you were single? Did Kim and Christine really bless you with that? They did. They poured their heart out. They shared their lives with you. So thank you, girls, for giving of yourself and your heart to just speak into the lives of all of us. You know, none of us have the same story, but we serve the same God. And so I believe that he is pretty amazing. I have three children. Each child needs something different. It's amazing. When discipline starts to happen, I have to go, okay, I'm working with Micah here. I have to really maneuver my way through this one. And then with Chloe, I have to maneuver a certain way with her. With Titus, it's a totally different disciplinarian issue. Now, spanking is just across the board. But when you actually are talking to them about certain things, I have to be careful what I say to one versus the other. One has a heart that can handle it. One breaks down if I look at them the wrong way. And I believe God knows every single one of us. Whether you are the one that breaks down right away or you're the one that's really tough and you have to kind of break down your walls to get in, the Lord knows how to speak to you. And I believe that God has been speaking to us in Isaiah 58. But before we even go there, I want to say welcome home to my mom. We have missed you. And, you know, you're a little sneaky because I asked you to preach this. And now she shows up. So, you know what? Maybe you should do next week. So anyways, she's going to be here Sunday night, so come on Sunday night. She's going to be preaching on Sunday night. My dad is doing better, everyone. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you've seen some of the Facebook pictures. Barbara snapped a shot with him, and everybody got to see him. He's healthy. He's lost like 21 pounds, and mom says she's gained it all because she has been cooking for him, and he can't eat, you know, because he can only eat so much. And so anyways, so all is good, you know, on the Cobra side of things, and we just are so blessed to have you back. So thanks for being with us, and thanks for coming back. Okay, so we have been talking about Isaiah 58. How many of you got your Bibles today? All right, now listen, if you don't have your Bible and you need one, come talk to me, because I want to make sure that you get the Word of God. That is going to be what shapes you, what molds you, what changes you. And the Word in its entirety will be life-changing for you. You know, we don't take a hold of one message and run with that. We read the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept. We see what the Word says in its entirety. And so I want you to make sure that you have your Bible so that when you are faced against the enemy, because the enemy will come and break apart your theology, break apart what your beliefs are, break apart what your systems are. I want you to go, wait a second, I just read that, and we just learned that. And that was on Sunday morning we talked about that, and on Wednesday we talked about it. On Thursday I know what God is speaking to me. Maybe you're in Bible college and you're going, oh man, I'm just getting filled up. Listen, the Word is so rich, and it in its entirety is a beautiful picture, a story, a guide, a path for all of us to walk down. So Isaiah 58, let's turn there. We have talked about fasting. Remember, that was a fun season for us. And Pastor Michelle brought that wonderful song to us, that we are his inheritance, that he is our food, he is our drink. Remember, we were like, yes! like if you weren't here, she brought that song, and we were so hungry and thirsty during that fast. We were like, yes, God, fill us. And so that was a season that we went through, and fasting, I've heard nothing but great reports from the fast that you guys had with the Lord. Many miracles, many breakthroughs, and I just believe God just loves a sacrificial heart and a time that we've set aside to believe God for the impossible. And so we talked about fasting. We've talked about our mouths. We talked about our mouths about this much. I would like one of the other teachers to maybe pick up on the mouth, because we as women, we can use those really well. It could be a weapon, it could be a gossip tool, it could be everything, but God has told us in the Word of God what He wants our words to be. And so, talked about our mouths. We talked about getting off the throne of judgment. Do you guys remember that? You are not the judge, God is. And so get off the judgment seat. And we talked about going into the field and blessing people, bringing them to you, that your light will shine as noonday. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? I just love how the Word of God tells us how to do things, but then gives us like hope at the very end of it. Okay, change this, but if you do, this will be the result of it. You know, He never gives us an instruction and tells us to stop something without a reward. There's always a reward, because the Lord knows that we are humans and we need to have hope. And our hope is Him. And your reward is greater than what you can ever dream, hope, imagine. We talked about the well running dry. Do you guys remember that? It's the poor lady that I sprayed with the hose. Is she in here? I just love you. She never came back. She never came back, Mom. I'm so sorry. And so ran one out of the church. So Pastor Michelle brought a hose in the sanctuary. Talked about how the water that never runs dry. And I kind of want to pick up there for a second, because we're going right into Isaiah 58, and it doesn't make, you know, as much powerful sense until you read the verse before, and then you kind of flow, because, you know, when the Bible was written, it wasn't like verse 10, verse 11, they didn't do that, okay? So let's just read this in a continual flow. You guys ready? We're going to go in verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a well-watered garden, and like a spring whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Awesome. You see, when we become this well-watered garden that we talked about, Dr. Vanessa, you know, hit it, Pastor Michelle hit it, and I just love that they really focused on that, because when we become to see ourselves as this healthy, well-watered garden, something that God created and made whole and has filled us with His goodness, right? Then what do we do with that? Have you ever been so full, and you're so full of Jesus, and you're like, now what? You know, I love the people that first get saved. Because it's like this revelation of like, my life does not have to be what it used to be. I like wake up in the morning and I'm like this new person. And I, you know, especially when they start speaking in tongues, it is like a whole new world. Like everything glows, you know, it's just amazing. And it's just such an excitement, right? So here we are, these well-watered gardens, we're flourishing, we're beautiful. And then what? Well, He doesn't just leave us there full of nothing and not to give. He goes with us in verse 12, and He says, those from among you. Those from among you. You know what that tells me? You. You, 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 me. We are called because He has filled us up, He's equipped us, and He's made us gorgeous for His kingdom, but He doesn't leave us there. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Listen, what if you are sitting in this room and you've thought these thoughts? Because I know I've thought these thoughts. And you go, what am I here for? What is my purpose in life? God, you know, I just feel like I do the mundane, and I don't know if I'm ever even really doing anything for your kingdom, and I don't know if I'm blessing my family. I'm just kind of here, and you know, what's my purpose in life? What is it you have for me? Because I feel like I'm stagnant. I feel like I'm not going anywhere. I feel like I don't know what it is that you've called me to. I've now become this Christian, and now what? I've now gotten filled up with your Spirit, and now what? And this is what He's saying. If I told you that, you asked yourself that question, that I had the answer for you, That God has already written it out. He's already laid it out on a path for us to follow. That this will be the best journey, the most extravagant journey, the hardest journey that you can take. But it's a journey worth taking. And that if you are ready for it, to get on board. Get on the bandwagon. Get on Jesus's ride because he's taken us somewhere. He has your purpose. He has your destiny. He has your call. You're not a mistake. You're not somebody who doesn't know who they are. Oh, because he knows who you are. You were known in your mother's womb. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you come from poverty, if you come from wealth, he does not care. This is what he cares about. Do you have your hands? Do you have your feet? Is your heart in line with the things of God? Are you ready and ripe? Are you that well-watered garden, ready to go, building the old waste places, raising up the foundations, being a restorer of the breach? This is your purpose, women. This is your call. You already do it, and you don't know you do it. You go, I am not that person. I am not. No, 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 no. I am not a restorer. I actually just caused a family fight last week, and I am not a repairer of the breach. Everybody does not talk to me. I am not an easy person to be around. Listen, you are that person. You already were built that way. But there are things on top of you that are covering up the God-man inside of you. And we have to remove the old waste and raise up the foundation in you, which is Jesus Christ, which is already laid in your heart. You see, you are already this woman of God. You have already been called. You have already been chosen. Now it's your time and your turn for such a time as this, ladies, to find out what it is that's underneath, down under, that needs to be rose up, that needs to be stripped, that needs to find your root and your foundation, and his name is Jesus. Isaiah 58:12 says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. As I was reading this, the way that my mind works, I kind of like work like in a chronological order, you know? And so I'm like, well, wait, I can't build something if I don't have the foundation already. So for me, I went to this verse a little differently. I went to the foundation of this verse first, and then we're going to go back to building the old waste places. Because as I began to read the commentaries, here was Israel, and there was ruins. They were desolate. They were in a time of devastation, in a time of brokenness. The cities were demolished. There were things that were just in ruin around them. And it said that what it was representing was clear off the ruin and raise up the foundation. You see, when a building falls, guess what's still laying? The foundation. When something is wiped out, when we were in Oklahoma, I will never forget this story. We were so excited to finally find an outlet center in Oklahoma. Okay? So Dan and I were like, we need some new shoes because our job required us to have certain pairs of shoes. And so we drove. We drove for like an hour. We drove for like an hour and a half. And we saw this sign and it said, you know, whatever, Okmulgee, because they have the weirdest names out there, Okmulgee, like, outlet center. And I'm looking around, and there is nothing out there. And I'm like, there's nothing over here. He's like, well, there's the exit. It says Okmulgee Outlet Center. So we get off, and we turn right where all the signs are leading us to. And do you know what was left? Foundation. The whole entire center was wiped out. So we go back to Sam's Club the next day, and we're like, we went looking for the outlet center, you know, and we love outlets. We're from California. We live by Cabazon, and they're like, oh, yeah, those were great. You know, the workers there were like, yeah, those were great. We loved those. And we're like, where were they? They're like, the tornado came through and totally annihilated everything. There was not one shop left. And I was just like, what? Oh, my God, where am I living? So, you know, the Lord says that we have the foundation of Jesus inside of us. But what we are built on can be wiped out. And we have to be cautious, just like that building I'm telling you, there were only like cement foundations all over the ground, but there was nothing else there. Here's Israel, desolate, broken. They've been through wars, they've been through famine, because of their sin, because of their disobedience, because of everything they've gone through. And here it is, God saying, it is now time, Israel, now that you've got yourselves in line, you've fasted, you've watched your mouth, you've gotten yourself in order, you've figured out who you are in me, now I need you to go and build the waste places. I need you to raise up the foundations that have been laid before you from generations before you. And I believe that, yes, this is Old Testament, but God is speaking to us today in the New Testament. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to us. We live in San Bernardino. Have you driven through downtown lately? If you have not, you should. It is completely empty. There is nothing there anymore. Our city went bankrupt. It is sad and broken. But listen, there is a foundation of Jesus Christ. There is a God in heaven who loves them. There is somebody who believes bigger inside of them. It doesn't matter if it's Moreno Valley, Riverside, whatever city you live in. You are now commissioned to go and lay the foundation of Jesus in your community and to raise up those walls. Girls, you are it. You are called. You can do everything and anything through Christ Jesus. I have a son, and he goes, well, I can't. You know, this is my youngest son. Titus, please go clean up your Legos. I can't. I just can't. Why? Because I don't want to. I think sometimes we tell God that. Well, I can't. Well, why not? Because I don't want to. It's the reality of it. You don't want to. Listen, we have to pray and ask God to give us a heart of compassion. We have to pray and ask God to give us his heart for the people in our world, because it's easy to allow our hearts to get hard. It's easy to see the need and see the abuse of the need and the generosity. It's easy. But you know what? If you begin to choose love, if we begin to bring Jesus and hope, no matter what we get back, remember we talked about that in the past, we don't do it to receive, we do it to give. Then we are beginning to expose that foundation that was laid there from generation to generation. And I know that God has laid a foundation, or you would not be sitting in this room right now. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was rooting you on, generation after generation. My mom can date us back to her great-grandmother's great-grandma. They served the Lord. And you know what? Somebody in your family prayed your little cute butt in these seats and in a beautiful relationship with the kingdom of God. And I believe that your prayers are precious to God and that they begin to lay a beautiful foundation. If we are called, which we are, the first step to being restorers and rebuilders in our lives and in our communities starts here. That we from among you shall build waste places, and we will raise up foundations. If you're taking notes, let's start. What is our foundation? You say, well, I don't know. You know, I guess my foundation, I don't know. Well, listen, a foundation is people's foundations are grounded in which their beliefs are based. In what grounds them, it's what plants them, and it's what firmly grounds them in the Word of God. Your foundations are what plant you, what ground you, what motivates you, what stir you, what you go back to. They would call them your roots, right? When the roots of a tree are grounded, right, that tree's not going to fall. You know, I was reading something about foundations. Do you know the Leaning Tower of Pisa is like, now I could be wrong on this figure. I should have checked it out before again. I think it was like 157 like feet tall or something tall, stories tall. And you know how it goes like this? Do you know how deep the roots or, I'm sorry, the groundings in the foundation are? 10 feet. No wonder it's leaning. Maybe you're going, I'm the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Like, I need a little bit more deeper roots in the things of God. Well, that's why you're a girlfriend. That's why you come to the house of God, to make your firm foundation, to make it stronger and deeper and more powerful. Listen, your foundations are what mold you and shape you. It is what our lives are formed around. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, if you're there, turn with me. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. Think about this. If there's already a foundation laid, are you going to go ahead and lay another foundation on top of that? No, because there's already a foundation laid, right? So we already have been told that there is a foundation already laid for us. Do you guys want to know what it is? Second part of that verse, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your firm foundation. He is the one that you stand on when you cannot stand any longer. He is the one that you go back to. He doesn't move. He doesn't change. He is consistent. He is loving. He is not immovable. He is not damaged by elements. He is not moved or shaken, but he is your firm foundation. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He's reliable. How many of you are missing that reliable man? And you were like, oh, yes, girl, he is not reliable. Listen, you've got Jesus. He is your firm foundation. You don't need anything and anyone to be reliable but him. Because when you know that your solid foundation is reliable, that he's consistent, that he won't leave you, that he is stable and he is firm, Jesus is the one that we need. He is the one that will help us to strip away the old waste places. He's there. You know, sometimes he's dormant. Sometimes we push him down with our sin and our disobedience, and we quiet him, and we just leave him. Have you ever done that? You know, when I was sinning, I knew God. I knew him. I've been in church my whole life. I knew. I mean, I remember sitting in a scary movie. I will never forget this. I was sitting in a scary movie, and my parents never let me watch scary movies, so it was like, ooh, get to go see a scary movie. I was all excited about it. I actually think I was with you. I don't know what it was. We did end up leaving, and I remember we weren't really even, like, serving God at all. And I start praying in tongues. In the middle of the movie theater, I'm like, oh, because even though I wasn't serving God, he was still my firm foundation. He was still there, and I had to pull that up and bring that out. Listen, he does not leave you nor forsake you. He is your firm foundation. All right? Now, in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. I kind of like that. You know, we should get like our pink tool belts and like our pink hammers, and we're his workers, right? We are God's field. You know, I thought about that well-watered garden that Dr. Vanessa showed. You know, the one that everybody thought was her backyard, and then she had to tell us it wasn't. It's so beautiful. I just picture this field. You know, we go to Mammoth, and there's these meadows and fields, and they're just gorgeous. And every time you look at them and the sun hits them a certain way, there's a beauty of God that just pours out. Have you ever been in nature and you're like, oh, you know, that's what it is. So first we're his workers, and we are God's field. That means he sees us as beautiful. He sees us as complete. He sees us as whole. You are God's building. You are the one that houses the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the living God. Wherever you go, you take Jesus with you. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are the church. The church is not just this house. The church is you, the body of Christ. And so when we begin to get a picture of who we are his workers, we are his builders, and we are his building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me. Now listen, according to the grace of God, there are many teachings going around about grace. I will say this about it. That's a piece of grace. There are many aspects to grace. And that's immature to think that there is one piece of grace. That's a partial reality. It's a partial truth. There's a whole truth on grace. And when you use the word of God and you preach one message, I'm getting on my soapbox here. You preach one message, and that cultivates everything in your life. Shame, and watch out, because you're missing the word of God in its entirety. You see grace and love and faith, and the word of God as a whole is something you need to get into. You don't just go listen and let a man tickle your ears and tell you what he thinks. The grace of God at this church has been defined for us. Now, this is not the only definition of grace, but this has always helped us to understand what it is that we have from God that is called grace. It is what? Say it with me. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I cannot do it. So first he's told us that we're builders, right? Then he's told us that we are a field. And then, what else has he said about us? I had to go back to my word, sorry. That we are his building. And that we can do all of this. We can be all of this. We can be the restorers. We can be the rebuilders, right? With the grace of God that has been given to us. So it's already been given to us. The grace which is given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. You know, it's so funny. The Lego movie, have you guys seen a Lego movie? Okay, I have kids, and like the Lego movie is on like on a constant repeat, okay? And, you know, it was all about this young man. He didn't know his ability, and he didn't know he was a master builder. And then he found out, you know, that he could do anything, and he could save his city. And then he runs out, and he starts to begin going through the city, and he's seeing things, and he's building things, and he's saving the city, right? I think of you that way. You are God's master builders. You are master builders. You walk out into your living room, and what do you see? Oh, that's not right. I need to fix that. And, oh, my kid needs to do this, and that needs to get done. And you know what my husband walks out and sees? Hey, what's for breakfast? What are we doing? They don't see what we see. I believe that we are God's secret weapon, right? I believe you go, man, I wish I didn't notice all those details all the time. I wish I could just walk down and be like, hey, what's for breakfast? You know, we've already had breakfast, cleaned the house, done the dishes, did the laundry. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Because if we can look at that and say, that's who we are. We are God's master builders. We are the restorers of the breach. We are the ones that are going to rebuild our city. And listen, it starts, girls, in your homes. I don't want you coming out working with us and going here and doing your thing at church and being rah-rah, aren't you the greatest? And then you go home and your kids are like, my mom is like a hypocrite. My mom, we've heard this in our youth group. My mom is yelling at me and hitting me and not patient with me at all. My mom is losing it all the time. And why would I want to serve this God that she serves? Girls, we have to be who we are in our home and who we are outside of our home. You need to be consistent. Because if you are going to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it starts in your home first. You have to be a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ to your family. You have to be a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ to your husbands, to your sons, to your daughters. You say, well, my kids are not serving the Lord. Well, listen, mama. You just keep serving the Lord. You just keep praying for your kids. You just keep building upon building that foundation that was already laid for your children. And you begin to pray and you begin to build hope and faith and love into these children. And you will begin to see a difference. You are called. You are the master builder. You are the well-watered garden. So girls, get our stuff together and let's get our families reunited. Let's build our homes into a beautiful light that the world looks at and goes, what is it they have? I want to have a family like that. I want to have a good fight and make up really good. I want to be able to do life well. I want to be able, listen, I am not talking about, you know, leave it to beaver families. Because that is not any of us, okay? The Cobras, we can fight so good. When we go on our family vacations, we got to get our good fight out. And then we all make up like the next day, we're all ready to leave. And everybody's mad at each other. Oh, I'm going to leave tomorrow and da 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 da. And then we make up. We have family meetings, right? We fight good. We play good. We play hard. Listen, that's family. It's nothing to be ashamed about. But listen, bring Jesus back into the center of it all. You know, my parents never let my brother and I walk away without, nope, we're going to fix this. We're going to work this out. We're going to pray this out. You guys work this out. You guys get in faith. You guys love each other. You know, my mom never let us walk away like that. My children, when they fight right now, I'm like, you're going to sit here until you all make up. I don't like her. I don't like him. I don't care. I don't like you right now because you all are bugging me. Make up. And seriously, they have to sit there until they work it out. And then by the end of the conversation, it's usually my middle child who is the most sensitive. You know, I just love you, Chloe, and you're just so special to me. And you're the best sister in the whole world. And Chloe's like, okay, thanks, love you too. You know, like, I mean, this is the different personalities that these two have. But they make up, they give each other hugs, they love each other, and then they're off playing again. And I believe that that is building. That is building because it's healthy. It's good to have a fight. Get your feelings out. Don't get butt hurt by it. You go, butt hurt? Yes, that is one of my words. I'm so sorry. But, you know, you can get hurt and then you can get butt hurt. Where you don't talk anymore. You're bitter. The whole world stinks. Everybody's a problem. How about you might be the problem? How about you need to change your bitter attitude? How about you need to walk in some forgiveness? Don't let yourself get there. Say, I'm going to choose not to be hurt today. I'm going to choose not to take offense to that. If they want to act that way, let them act that way. Listen, I am not there. I am not preaching this because I am there. I am preaching this because I'm on this journey getting there. And if I have to do it, I know you have to do it, okay? And so if you could teach your kids to do that, they will be better off in the play yard. They will be better off with people in their life because there will always be someone in our lives that rub us the wrong way. There will, okay? But I believe this is where God says, but you're the master builder. You're the one that creates the atmosphere in your world. You're the one. I've already given you the foundation, so use it, all right? So, where are we at? Sorry, I got this. All right, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 3:9. And it says that we are the master builders, that I have laid the foundation, and others build on it. So he is the foundation, and others build on it, right? But let each one take heed to how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is our foundation. No one else can build on that foundation. All right? So let's go into where do we build? Okay, so we have this foundation. Where do we build it? Where is this foundation built? It's built on our hearts, number one, because Jesus lives in our hearts. The foundation is Jesus. Yet we are building our lives, and we need to keep that in mind. We can build on stable ground, or we can build on hard rock ground, which is Jesus Christ. You see, you can build a foundation in your children's life. Let's talk about this for a second. What is it you're feeding them? Right? If you feed them junk food all the time, what do you get? Sick kids, broken down systems. You know, there's actually issues with chemicals in our food. There really is. Right? So you can lay that foundation for them. Or if you teach them, listen, I know you don't like the green stuff, but I'm going to hide it in your eggs, and you're going to eat it, and you ain't getting up from the table until you eat it. Then after a while, the green stuff is like, where's the green stuff? You didn't put it in my eggs today. Because they become to get used to it, right? You feed your soul, you feed your body the word of God. You build your foundation on a solid rock, okay? Whatever you want. Okay, so what are we watching on TV? What's that foundation laid right there? Are you watching smut, like 50 Shades of Grey? Or are you watching fun things like Hallmark movies and Lego movie and you know, maybe like a fun sci-fi or whatever, but you know that it's not making you feel like, ugh, if God was here, what would I be doing? Well, he is there, and you are making him watch it. Stop! Because he lives inside of you, right? What are you feeding yourself? What are you allowing the enemy to come and weasel into your life? That firm foundation is no longer firm when disobedience, when anger, when angst, when sin is let in, and it begins to cover your foundation, and is no longer clear. And let's turn to Matthew. He talks about where we build our foundation. Matthew 7:24. Now, I'm going to use the message because I think it kind of tells it like a story, and I loved how it read. So if you want to look up on the screens, you can go ahead and do that. Matthew 7:24-27. These words I speak to you. They are not identical additions to your life. Homeowners, improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter whose house is built on a solid rock. I want to be a smart carpenter, not a dumb one, right? Rain poured down, rivers flooded, tornadoes hit, but nothing moved the house. It was fixed to the rock. I don't know about you, but I want to be fixed to that rock. I want to be gripped on by the things of God. I want to hold on to my rock, my Redeemer, the one that doesn't move by my storm or by my situation. That is what God is saying. Plant yourself, build on me, not on the things of this world. Build on me. It was fixed on the rock. But if you just use my words in your Bible studies and don't work them into your life. Girls, if you come to Girlfriends AM and you hear the word and you don't do what you've heard today or the day before or the week next week or whatever, then this is what will happen to you. You don't work them into your life. You are like a stupid carpenter. The Bible said stupid. Yep. You are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. I don't know about you, but I don't want my firm foundation to be built on my sin, built on my disobedience to what God has asked me to do, built on things that perish, built on things that are not solid, but I want it to be built on Jesus Christ, who is never changing, who is solid, who is firm, who I can count on, who is reliable, and that is what this verse is talking about. When we went to Mammoth this year, I have some pictures. Can you show the first picture? Oh, yes, I can see my outfit. Okay. This is a mountain. Now, this is actually a volcano, and that is, see the black part up there? That's, I think it's Yosemite, or what is that? Obsidian. Thank you, Mom. This is a mountain. Now, me and all of my nephews went out to this mountain, and we wanted to see it because it was pretty cool. You know, it's like obsidian rock. Like, you could pick through it, and it's what they make the arches out of for the Indian culture. They made, like, the arrowheads, yes, for the whatever. Okay, so the kids had pockets full of obsidian. Okay, obsidian. Like, it was, like, stacked in our car. Like, I have, like, a mound in my backyard now because of it. And so Dan and my older nephew James decided to go up this mountain. Now, does that mountain look solid? I'm telling you, every rock you step on, you slide 5 feet down. So I'm just down at the bottom going, you guys, I don't think this is a good idea. No, James is going to hurt himself. So then, little do I know, as I'm yelling at Dan and James, Micah is going up the whole other side of the mountain, and he is sliding. I have to go rescue Micah. Now, I'm running up this hill, and as I run, it's like rocks are flying down, and Kim is at the bottom going, stop, you're hitting us with rocks, you know, like, and I just remember everybody was like, so I'm going up after Micah trying to help him get down, and I just remember being up at the top. I finally made it to the top, and the first thought I thought was, oh God, I gotta go down this hill. How do you get down this hill? The ground is not solid. It is not, like, consistent. It is something that if you take a step, you're going to slide right off, right? This is not a foundation that we want to build our life on. This is a foundation of sin. This is a foundation represented by disobedience to God. This is a foundation that you feel your life would crap, and that's what you're going to get, all right? Now let's show the other picture. This is actually a rock. And that's all of your nephews, Mom. That's all your grandkids walking up that hill. And that looks like a mountain, doesn't it? Now, don't you think it's amazing that there's a tree growing in that rock? In the other mountain, there were no trees growing in it because it wasn't solid. There was no life. But here's this solid piece of rock. We could stand on the side of this rock, and our shoes actually would grip it to where we were, like, standing on the edge, and we would not fall off. We climbed this mountain, and it was just like rock. It was the coolest experience ever. And then there's trees all over this rock. Life is growing out of the middle of a rock. Now, do you want to build your life and your foundation on that or on the other one? This is beauty. This is majesty. This is solid. This is not going anywhere. This is immovable. This is unshakable. If Micah ran up that hill, I'd be like, go for it, dude. I will meet you up at the top. And I would not be worried about falling. When I look back down that mountain, I could get back down that mountain. I'm not scared to go down on the mountain into the valley when I have to, because I can get right back up to the top of that hill if I need it to, fast and quick. You see, Jesus is our firm foundation. I don't want to build my foundation on solid, unstable, ungodly ground, but I want to build my foundation on Jesus, the rock that never fails me, the one that is immovable and unshakable. Listen, we build our foundation on the rock. You then know now that you need to build your firm foundation on Jesus Christ. But don't just do it for yourself. Take people with you. Teach people about Jesus. Show them. This is how we begin to rebuild our cities. This is how we begin to show the love of God in our world. You see someone hurting, you go, listen, I know a firm foundation that will never change, that will not leave you dry, high and dry. I know something and someone that when you meet him, he will change every part of your heart. You begin to preach Jesus to these people and give them a new foundation to build on. Give them a new hope to rest in. You see, this isn't just for you and I. This is for you and I to grasp, to get a hold of, to become strong in, then bring our families along, and then teach our families to go into the highways and the byways and share the love of the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. That is where we're going with this. Number three, what are we building on our foundation with? What are we building on our foundation with? I love the Word of God, and it goes on, and you can stay in 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to move on to the next verse, and it says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, hay, straw, or wood, each one's work will become clear.
and the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, that the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet through fire. I love that. There's still the grace of God in there, that he's going to save them, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be beautiful. It's not going to be an awesome road to walk down. It's not going to be, you know, listen, when you put fire to wood, hay, and stubble, what happens? Burns, right? I was going to do it, but then I thought my dad would hate, like, be so mad at me. You know, like, what do you mean? You, like, caught something on fire in the main sanctuary. You know, like, wood, hay, and stubble. You bring a light to that, and that sucker's going up, right? But let's talk about this gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, if you read about heaven, God uses these things as building materials. The neatest thing is in children's ministry, they just taught my son Titus that, which I know I have too, but I think he finally got it, the penny dropped. And all week he's been telling us, Mom, did you know? And it's like random thoughts from Titus, you know, random moments of the day. Mom, did you know that the streets are made of gold in heaven? Yeah, Titus, I do. Mom, that's so cool. And then this is how the conversation goes, probably once a day. And Nana Ellen is dancing on streets of gold. And I think Baba Rudy's dancing with her. And I'm just like, you know, like I have my moments every couple days, you know, with this. But to see the beauty in Titus's eyes, Mom, he makes streets of gold. You know, like gold is a precious thing to us. It's a precious commodity. I remember I had gold earrings and they were diamond earrings and I lost one and I was like devastated. I think I vacuumed it up. I mean, really? And, you know, that was a moment for me of such loss. Now, if I had vacuumed up a piece of, you know, wood, hay, or stubble, I have these wicker chairs in my kitchen and the kids now are like breaking off little pieces of them and I have to vacuum it up, you know, daily. You know, do I care about vacuuming that up? No. I can replace that, right? But when I lose a precious stone, I'm like, oh my gosh, that cost something. It was worth something. That was valuable. And you see, we have a choice here to build on top of our foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, which will last through fire, or we can build with wood, hay, and stubble. Let's talk about this. Gold and silver and precious stones. Gold equals faith. You build your firm foundation with faith. Gold is represented as faith. You say, really? Yes, really? Let's turn to 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter 1:7. Okay? I'm going to show this to you in the Word of God. I just love how God likens things to each other. He gives us the tangible, then he gives us the spiritual. And if we build on the firm foundation of Jesus, we have to have faith in him, right? We've been learning this on Sunday mornings. Faith is what motivates. It's what stirs. It's what moves the heavens and the earth. And it's what seriously is so something that we have to stay grounded in, because the enemy tries to take us off of our faith walk, right? Constantly, daily, all the time. And so if we are building on our firm foundation with faith, in 1 Peter 1:7 it says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, that more precious than gold, that perishes through the tests of fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, you're building on your firm foundation with faith. Faith is one of your building stones. It is one of your pillars. It is something that you're using to build your heart on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You are going to need faith with your kids. You are going to need faith for that husband. You are going to need faith for those bills. You are going to need faith for whatever it is that life is going to put at your doorstep when you walk out of this room. Because I'm telling you, if you don't do life with the faith and the structure of the kingdom of God, you will fall down, you will fail, you will become rubble. But faith is a building stone. It is a solid ground. It is what we can build our life on. And because of it, it brings the revelation of Jesus Christ to the people around us. And that is what this is about. Number two, second part of this, silver. I love this. Silver. Silver, in Psalms 12:6, silver represents words. You know, your words are precious. Your words are valuable. And the words of the Lord are pure words. I love this. What he speaks over you is pure. What he says about you is pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. They are like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. I don't know about you, but I need God to speak the word of God over me. And that means when God speaks it over me, I then begin to speak it over my family. I begin to speak it over my finances. I begin to speak it over my health. I begin to speak it over my situations. Then I get outside of myself and I begin to speak it over my church. And I begin to speak it over my city. And I begin to speak it over our country. And I begin to speak it over this holy war that the world is going into. Listen, don't fool yourselves. We are at war with the enemy. If you are not watching the news, the enemy is coming. But guess what? I have news for him, that he is raising up a generation that knows the solid foundations, that we are going to speak life, that we are going to speak faith, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, pulling down the strongholds of the devil. Listen, girls, you cannot get these things inside of you and not begin to speak them. You need to get this, your firm foundation inside of you. Because when hell hits, and it will, this is what needs to come out. Because you can go back to the rocky ground and let all the choice words come out and let all the horrible, negative, horrible remarks come out. You know that saying about you can have what you say? It's true. You can say it and then you feel it, right? Oh, I don't feel good. Then all of a sudden, oh, I don't feel good. Have you ever been around a hypochondriac? The funnest people to be around. I kind of laugh at them. My daughter tends to go there sometimes, and I'm like, get over it. You're fine. Because it is like, oh, this hurts. You know, I know it's from this and this and this. It's like, well, speak over it, move on. Like, really, like, what are we going to, wallow about this? We're going to sit here and just stay focused on the negative. And listen, do you not have the word of God that says you're healed by the stripes on the cross? This is what I always tell my daughter. Today, she woke up. Oh, my wrist hurts. My wrist, she fell the other day. I said, well, what? Speak to it. Tell that ligament that you're healed quicker than you need to be. All right. Yeah, you're healed in Jesus' name. And you know what? You begin to teach them. Because what happens is you begin to teach yourself, then you teach your family, and then you teach your friends. You know, your friend won't be able to call you anymore and be like, guess what happened? You know, I have a friend, and there was a season in her life where she would call me, and she said, every time I call you, you just, like, yell at me. And I'm like, why? You're calling me with some serious issues. I mean, these were serious issues. These were life-threatening issues in her life. And I was not going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, all right, well, then what do we need to do? We need to get in faith. We need to pull out our sword. Listen, no weapon formed against your kid's going to prosper. Nothing is going to take her out. You are not going to let the enemy lie to her. And she was like, all right. Yeah, so she called crying. She got off the phone like all pumped up. And then she goes, then one day she called me and she said, I was feeling really down and I didn't want to call you. And I'm like, why? And she goes, because I knew you wouldn't let me get away with feeling down. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. Have your moment of feeling down. But when you're ready to be pumped back up, call me because I'm ready to fill you up. Listen, you guys have to be that life source for the people around you because you are the well-watered garden, right? You are full. You know the foundation that needs to be laid. You know what to say. You know what to do. I can call my friend and I could be down and I'm telling you, she will just say something. I could call my mama and my mom will just say something. I'm like, all right, I could do this again. All right, get back up, you know, shake it off. Listen, we are women that need each other. Don't be foolish and think you don't need your family. You don't need your friends. You do. But be careful who you're surrounding yourself with. Because are they going to help you build with precious stones? Are they going to help you build with silver? Are they going to help you build with gold? Or are they going to give you some wood, hay, and stubble and get in your pity party with you and take you nowhere? And then you get off the phone going, well, that didn't help. And that was like 2 hours of not helping. You know what I mean? Have you ever gotten off the phone with somebody and you're like, that was a waste of my time? Like, seriously, you want to get off the phone and go, that's awesome. All right, I know where I'm going now. I know what direction I'm taking. I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks through each other. Iron sharpens iron. And so the words of your mouth are like silver. All right? All right, let's talk about precious stones. You are the precious stone. Did you know that? You're like, I do not feel like a precious stone. You, my dear, are very beautiful precious stones. You are so gorgeous, so valuable. You are worth something to our King. And Jesus builds his foundation with you. Is that awesome? He builds with you. That means you have a part to play in his kingdom. You are the one that he is choosing to use. You are the one that he has on call, ready to go. He said, really? Yeah, let's look at it in 1 Peter 2:4. Coming to him as to the living stone rejected indeed by men. Have you been rejected by men? Have they let you down? Have they failed you? You're going, yes, the man. I'm saying men in whole, like women and men, not just men. Humanity has let us down, right? All right, so you've been rejected, but chosen by God. You see, you might be rejected. You might feel like you've been thrown up on. How many of you can say, oh, every day, there are people in my world and they just throw up on me all day long. Listen, you might have been let down by men and women and children and humanity as a whole. Because don't fool yourself. Our country's letting us down right now. This world we live in is failing. But listen, you are chosen by God and precious. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. I want to be precious. You know, there's nothing like my baby girl. When Chloe and me have our moments, she's so precious to me. I could just hold her and hug her forever. And as she had her 10th birthday, I was like, my baby's all grown up. And she's so precious to me. You know, I believe that God sees us that way, and he brings us in and he says, you're so precious to me. You are chosen by me. You are everything I need and everything I want because I made you. You know, God has a plan for you. In verse 5, it says, you also, as living stones, you're not dead, right? You're not immovable. You're not going to just be like dead, limp, not worth anything. No, you're a living stone. Are being built up as a spiritual house. Ooh, I don't know about you, but that's kind of cool. I get to be built up spiritually, like the house. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Therefore, contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Ooh, he's our chief cornerstone. He is the solid foundation. He is what we build on and build with. We are these precious stones, but he's the chief cornerstone. I love that. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Listen, if you believe in him, you cannot be put to shame. If you believe in it, but then it goes on. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. So you're precious to God if you believe upon him, right? Let's talk about if you don't believe upon him. But those who are disobedient. Now, this is wood, hay, and stubble. Disobedience. Okay? Those stones which the builders rejected. When you build with wood, hay, and stubble, you're rejecting God's power. When you're building with wood, hay, and stubble, you're rejecting God's strength. You're rejecting the tools he's given you. He's laid them out and he's saying, just come get them. You already are these precious stones, but you're rejecting me as your chief cornerstone. And it says that he has become, but the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, but to which they also were appointed. But you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Listen, we sit before the mercy seat of Jesus, and he says, come, daughter, because you have accepted me. You have obeyed me. You have laid the foundation of Jesus in your life. You have built it with gold, faith. You have built it with silver, with the words of your mouth. You have built it with you and your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. Come, and I am your chief cornerstone. I will not move. I will not be shaken. I will hold my ground. I will cover you. I will protect you. Listen, I believe in the Old Testament, Esther knew who her chief cornerstone was when she had to go to the palace of to a king who just murdered his wife. I mean, think about the fear that was going through this woman. She had to know her God. Let's talk about the New Testament. Paul, snake bitten, shipwrecked, doing all of this, he had to know who his chief cornerstone was. He had to know that he was valuable in the eyes of God. He had to know that the words that he spoke brought into existence the beauty and the wonder of Jesus Christ, all for this one purpose. That we lay the foundation of Jesus to a lost and dying world that has no solid foundation, but they live their lives on that rocky mountain that we saw that picture of. Well, we need to present to them that beautiful rock where life is built, where things are firm, where life is going forward, even though the storms are coming, even though wars and rumors of wars, even though we are seeing the word of God taking place right now. I believe you and me were called for such a time as this. You are called to stand in the gap, to be the repairer of the breach, to be the one that repairs the waste places of this world, whether it be San Bernardino, your city, your broken family, your broken heart. Start somewhere, and then once that's healed, you then take it to the next level of your life. Please remember that we are building this foundation. We are building upon this foundation, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's already laid. We just have to remove the sin and shame, and we need to stand firm and begin to build with precious gold, jewels, and silver. God has something for you, and he has something for me. And we can build something, but without a good foundation, we can't build properly. So we're gonna get into building next week, really building the walls and repairing those walls that have been broken in our lives. But I believe that God is doing something. And he says in Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified because I love this version. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of buildings and have laid waste for many generations. They've laid waste for many generations. Maybe you're the first one that's saved in your family. Maybe you're the first mama that decided, I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to turn this family around. That's a hard fight to fight. That's a rough path to go down, because you're no longer popular in your family, right? I mean, I just heard a story about a girl who went to a family reunion, and she was the only one that brought soda. And they brought no other drinks, not even for the kids, because all they brought was alcohol. That's all they brought. They didn't think about the kids at all. And she goes, we were just totally two different people. I would not hang out with these people because I am now a new creation in Christ. I am no longer that person. Listen, it may be uncomfortable. It may not be easy. But you go back to your firm foundation. Go back to what it is that's solid. Go back to what is true. Stay on top of that solid rock like we saw. Don't go to the rocky ground that's going to shake you out and going to break you down and that's going to cause you to stumble, cause you to fail. Listen, God has a plan for you. You are his plan. You have a call on your life. Your children have a call on their life. Your children's children have a call on their life. And I believe that when you begin to be the mouthpiece for Jesus, that we are going to see such beautiful Jesus manufactured houses walking around our city, that we are going to be beams of light shining out, and people are going to go, what is up with them? You know what? We got the truth. We know who our God is. You can have it too. He is not a respecter of persons. He loves you as much as he loved me. I've been there, but listen, you don't have to stay there. What a beautiful message. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are that well-watered garden. So girls, let's begin to build and of the ruins. Let's lay the foundations and clear the foundations of the generations that have gone before us. I love you. Did you get something from God today?